Liberating souls, unlocking potentials with God's word, with Prophet Victor Kusi Boateng. And now, today's message.
Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The verse 13 downwards. Please read the word of God.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ."
Thou art the Christ.
"The Son of the living God."
The Son of the living God.
And Jesus answered and said unto him.
And then Jesus answered and said unto Simon Peter,
"Blessed art thou.
Blessed art thou,
Simon Bajona.
Simon Bajona.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it
for
unto thee.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee.
But my Father which is in heaven."
But my Father which is in heaven.
"And I say also unto thee."
And I say also unto thee.
"That thou art Peter."
That thou art Peter.
"And upon this rock."
And upon this rock.
"I'll build my church."
I will build my church.
"And the gates of hell."
And the gates of hell.
"Shall not prevail against it."
Shall not prevail against
it. And I'll
put your hands together for Jesus.
Amen.
We are still talking about the reintroduction of Christ to his church. We took inspiration from the fact that after he stills the storm, the disciples said, "We thought we knew you, but you have reintroduced yourself to us. And so we are in awe as to the kind of personality you are." And so they said, "What manner of man is this?" And so in conclusion, it is an indicator that they thought they knew him all along, but the time comes in their lives that they accept the fact that they don't know him enough. He said, "What manner of man is this? Reintroduce yourself to us. We have seen a portion and a part of you that we have never seen in our lives before." And so he himself comes on the scene and asks the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then some said, "Thou art Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the minor or the major prophets." But he comes on the scene and asks them, "Whom do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And instantly Jesus responds and says, "That thou art Simon Bajona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so I shared with you how the moment they opened up for God, the moment he opened up for God to use him, Jesus now comes on the scene to say that all this while we hadn't been exposed of who your Father was, but by virtue of the fact that you open up for this revelation, you qualify for that part of your life that has been covered all these years to be uncovered. And I shared with you how when you open up for God, you are setting yourself up for God to unveil that covered part of your life. It is not the school you go to. It is not your profession. It is not your career. But it is your availability that qualifies God to unveil that part of your life that has been covered all this while. And so I want to prophesy over your life that if there is any part of your life that has been covered over the generations, by reason of your availability, may you qualify for an exposure of that part of your life that has been covered all this while. I can feel you this morning. And then he goes a step further by saying, "The flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is resided and resident in heaven." And that comes to say that in life there are only three levels of revelation. the flesh revelation, the blood revelation, and the supernatural revelation. If you can win or lose, if you can succeed or fail, if you can be fulfilled or not, you can't go beyond the three revelations that Jesus spoke about. He said, flesh has not revealed this unto you, blood had not revealed this unto you, but the supernatural has revealed this unto you. So in life, there are only three levels of revelation: the flesh revelation, the blood revelation, and the supernatural revelation. Tell your neighbor, the flesh revelation, the blood revelation, and the supernatural revelation. Last week I spoke about the flesh revelation. I spoke about how Jesus himself has an encounter with Saul on the highways of Damascus. And I thought that Jesus was going to give him the A to Z dynamics of his ministry. But Jesus tells Peter that my duty was to have an encounter, but it is the duty of a flesh by the name of Ananias to push you into your prophetic agenda. You don't only need God in your life, you need flesh in your life. Because when God comes on the scene without flesh in his life, he cannot accomplish his word and his assignment in your life. If you are an entrepreneur, you need flesh. If you are a pastor, you need flesh. If you are a businessman, you need flesh. If you want to be married, you cannot marry the Holy Ghost, you need flesh. And I pray that in your day and in your time, God shall release and release that flesh that has to bring accomplishments in your life. I prophesy that flesh to come into your life. I prophesy that flesh to come into your life. Some of you, it is not an angel you need. It is not a supernatural you need. One flesh can come into your life and your word will be accomplished. Flesh. Tell your neighbor the flesh revelation. Tell your neighbor the flesh revelation. Can you imagine, after the death of Jesus, the prophecy was not that he was going to be hanged on the cross and resurrected from the cross. He himself prophesied that the Son of Man shall be buried and after 3 days he shall resurrect. That was the prophecy. But he dies on the cross. And the prophecy of his burial had to be fulfilled. And there were men like Peter who had an encounter with God. He sat and dined with him. There were men like John who climbed the mountain and saw Jesus transfigured. There were men that had encountered the supernatural. But the prophecy was not that Jesus would resurrect from the cross. The prophecy was that he had to be buried. But this time around, it was not tongues. This time around, it was nothing. This time around, there was a flesh that had to be connected in high places. It is not every day that you need the supernatural. Joseph of Arimathea was just a new believer who had no understanding about the supernatural. But he was the one that brought the prophecy of his death and his burial into fulfillment. Some of you Muslims will walk into your life and they shall do you good. There are some of you men who don't even speak in tongues shall come into your life and they shall accomplish the prophetic of God in your lives into fulfillment. I pray that whoever the Lord has mandated to bring help into your life, may there be flesh revelation. Tell your neighbor, flesh revelation. And that is why for the devil to mess you up, he needs flesh. Without flesh, the devil cannot accomplish his assignment in your life. So it is either that personality unveiled himself for God to use him as flesh to accomplish his agenda in your life, or that personality availed himself for the devil to use him for his services to accomplish the devil's prophecy in your life. I come to decree that if there is any flesh that has taken on an assignment to bring to pass the enemy's word for your life, may tenderness come
from above. May they be devoured before they devour you. May they be devoured before they devour you. May they be devoured before they devour you. For 1,000 shall fall at your sides and 10,000 at your right hand side, and none of this shall come near you. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked. If there is flesh that has taken on an assignment against your life and your destiny, may tenderness speak on your behalf.
Flesh revelation. And so in everybody's life, there is a flesh that is dragging you into your prophetic assignment, or there is flesh that is messing you up. The first level of revelation is the flesh kind of revelation. He said, flesh and blood. So what I'm speaking about this morning is the blood revelation. Tell your neighbor, blood revelation. You can do better than that. Tell your neighbor, the blood revelation. You can do better than that. Tell your neighbor, the blood revelation. If you were here when I was speaking about blood for blood, you bear record with me that you have a better understanding of the essence of blood. Without blood, you die. You are declared dead when your heart stops pumping blood into your veins and into your vessels. And in so understanding, you have to hear this, that the moment your heart ceases, blood ceases to function in your body, and so you die. It is the heart that pumps the blood to thicken it so that it doesn't clot. And so as much as it pumps the heart, every part of your body is working, and so the moment it ceases, you die. And men have been able to improvise the heart to an extent that when your heart ceases, there is what we call pacemaker that can substitute the heart. And so when your heart stops beating, the pacemaker can take the role of your heart. Is somebody here with me? But nobody has been able to improvise the blood. It doesn't matter how advanced our technology has gotten to, nobody can ever improvise the blood. Because it doesn't matter how high tech it goes, the composition of blood can never be emulated. There are no generics for blood. Why? Blood cannot have a supplement. And so if you understand with me, every single sacrifice and offering that God demanded of the church was a sacrifice of blood. And that is why we are making a mistake when we have to come to God and give to him our sacrifices. We are talking about Jesus Christ. But you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not an offering for the church to God, but Jesus was God's offering to the church. So when it comes for you to give an offering, you can't come here with Jesus. You have to climb down from the mountains to the earth and say, God, you sacrifice for us, but this is my sacrifice for you. Oh, let me try to work this thing out. And so blood is your composition that cannot be emulated. There cannot be generics for your blood. And I also make a clear, you know, difference between your sweat and your blood and how they co-work together. Because your blood is your sweat. And that is why I shared with you how Jesus climbs on the mountain, and when he prays and he was sweating and he thought there was sweat on his face, he began to clean the sweat, and the sweat had been turned into blood. That comes to say that your sweat is your blood. Oh, I thought I was working out something. And so don't forget that when they were about taking Jesus to the cross, don't forget that God cursed the earth and said that tongues and tattles shall come out of you. And so the Bible says that when Jesus was about to die, they made crowns of thorns on his head. And so when they put the thorns on your head, blood will begin to come out of your forehead. And don't forget that God had declared, at the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. And so whenever you see sweat on your brow, it is a sign of hard work. And so God was telling the church that your hard work is your blood. Blood revelation. I told you that your flesh revelation is a revelation that your professor gave to you for you to become a lawyer. The revelation that your consultant gave to you for you to become a doctor. The revelation that mommy
gave to you for you to have held up to those high moral life. The revelation that your pastor gave to you to have been married. They are all flesh revelation. But there is a revelation that your father cannot give you. There is a revelation that your brother cannot give you. There is a revelation that it takes nothing but your sweat to understand that revelation. That revelation is not what somebody else can cook for you. That revelation is not what somebody else can teach you. That revelation is a revelation that you have to go through it with your blood and with your sweat. And some of you have gone through it enough, and by reason of that, there is a revelation that is coming your way. And I pray that whatever experience you have, I pray that whatever you have been through, I pray that whatever you have encountered shall bring some value and a revelation in your life. Lift up your hands and say, I hear you. That is what I call the experiential revelation. Let me simplify it. There was a lady that was going to be married. I'm talking about the blood revelation. To a guy that had just come from abroad. And so the moment the guy saw her, the guy said, I want to be married to you. She said, okay. We drive together in the guy's BMW. He went to mommy, was happy. Daddy was happy. And then they go to their pastor. Their pastor says, no. I'm never going to allow that man to marry you. Wait until you are friends. Wait until you have developed a relationship before I can sanction this marriage. The woman said, no. You are fighting against my miracle. You are fighting against my breakthrough. I reject the intrusion of my pastor. I just want her to assume the highest level of life. Irrespective of what was said and done, the lady goes ahead and marries the man. Now the man went back to Canada, to England, and then they began to communicate. Anytime this lady calls, a lady picks up the phone, and then the man will tell her, it is my sister. I live with my sister. But it came out that the man was married. And then she found out that the man was married. Married one in America. Married one in Canada. Married two in Ghana. And so the lady was brokenhearted. At the end of the day, she had no option than to leave the marriage. And then she still trusting God. She went to the pastor and apologized to the pastor. And the pastor said, you are still my daughter. I will never expose you for the enemy to destroy you. And then 2 years down the line, this lady meets another man whose belt was right here. And the shoe was 3 times my size. And the shirt was extra, extra, extra large. And then had curls on the head with some heavy loaded sunglasses. And then, papa, hey lady, how are you? Mm-hmm. How are you, sir? God has presented you to me as a gift. Lady, I want to marry you. Then the lady said, I know you. I saw you 2 years ago. This was the same makeup that I saw. I don't need a prophecy. I don't need a pastor. But I've seen you before. This is what I call the blood revelation. Whereby you went through it and you come out with an experience. Whereby you went through it and you come out with a revelation. Whereby you went through it. And my God. My fourth book will be what I was not taught in the Bible school. What I wasn't taught in the Bible school. And every one of you, there are times in your life that you have to go through experiential revelation. So when you talk and they don't listen, leave them for them to have what we call the blood revelation. Because whenever blood oozes out, there is a conflict. Before you can see blood in your... You see, do you know that when you start throwing up blood, you go to the hospital and they'll tell you it's not normal. So it means that when a knife cuts you, they say it's normal, they'll dress the wound. But when they see blood without friction, they say it's abnormal, because before blood comes out, there should be a friction. And so blood comes out because there is a friction. And so some of you can only have a revelation when you have gone through the friction.
Some of you, it doesn't matter how you advise. You always use your money to buy food. You eat at night and eat at night and eat at dawn and wake your wife up and let her cook fufu for you at midnight. But when you go to the hospital and they tell you your cholesterol is high, when even your wife wants to wake up and cook it for you, you tell her, I have what I call the blood revelation. And I pray that your kind of revelation shall not be wasted, but every single experience you have will bring nothing short of merit into your life. I pray that every experience you have had and every experience you have encountered will add up to your life and not take away from your life. I pray that whatever experience you have will bring nothing short of blood revelation.
Exodus. Let me try to give you a brief description of what I'm talking about. In Exodus chapter 19, God called Moses and told Moses, come up to the mountaintop with the children of Israel, after which you will come deeper and then I'll talk to you. And so the Bible says that Moses went and there was a cloud that took over Moses. After which the Lord began to speak to Moses. And let's listen to what the word of God says in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 31. Are you there? Exodus chapter 31. And then God began to give him two tablets, two tables. And then the Bible talks about how when God finishes doing the two tablets or the two tables, God began to use his hands to write upon the tablet his commandments to the church. He gave him the 10 commandments and the ordinances. They are two different things. So one tablet carried the 10 commandments and the other tablet carried the ordinances. Exodus chapter 31. Read the verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So God himself took off the two tables or the two tablets, and then the hand of God began to inscript his ordinances and his commandments on the stones. And you bear record with me that Moses was there for 6 days. And it was on the seventh day that God began to speak to him and God began to expose his ordinances to him. And so everything that God was saying to Moses, God began to write it. He began to write it on the stone that he himself cut with his finger. Exodus chapter 32. Read from the verse 19. Exodus chapter 32, verse 19.
As soon as he came near unto the camp.
And it came to pass, as soon as he came near unto the crowd,
That he saw the calf. And the dancing. And Moses' anger was hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands.
And then the Bible declares that the two tablets that God had made for him, he cast it down
and break them beneath the mount.
And then he broke them at the bottom of the mountain. These were stones that God himself had broken. And these were stones that God himself had used his hands to inscript. And he gave it to Moses. And the sad thing is that even before Moses comprehended the activities of the children of Israel, the Bible said that God had already preempted him and God had told Moses that your people have started serving idols. So God was telling him that I want to preempt you, so be on guard. Guard yourself well, because you are going to see something that is very bad, something that is very awkward, but guard yourself. And then the Bible said that the moment Moses came and then he saw the golden calf, although God had preempted him, he was so angry and then he crushed the tablets. Anything that is yours that has been crushed, may God restore it to you. I said, anything that is yours that has been crushed, may God restore it to you. And then God decides to destroy the children of Israel. And Moses himself said, when you come down, that God, if you destroy them, everybody will say it is because you could not deliver them well. Oh God, change your mind. And then God said, I have repented of the destruction I want to bring into their lives. Exodus chapter 34. From the verse 1.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
Hand thee two tablets of stone.
Now, the first tablet, I cut it for you. I went to the mountain and cut the tablet for you. And then you easily broke the tablet. But he said, we are going to inscript again on another tablet. But this time around, I am not going to do it for you. He gave Moses a sword and he said, go to the mountain. Moses, he said, cut two stones. And then Moses began to cut it. A pain. He sat there and cut. And then he finishes cutting the two tablets. God said, now come and meet me.
Handing two tablets of stones like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the
you
first
see, in
table.
In the beginning, God said, cut the stones. Because I believe if the Lord had told Moses, you are going to write on the stones, Moses would have said, I resign. But God said, okay, Moses, you cut the stones. When you finish cutting it, I'll go and write it on the table for you. Moses said, okay. God said, come up. And then they come up. Jump over to the verse 27.
The verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses.
And now the Lord said unto Moses.
Write thou these words.
Write down these words that I'm speaking to you on this tablet.
For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with
for
thee.
For after a tenor of these words,
I have made a covenant
with thee. I have made a covenant
with thee and with Israel.
With thee and with Israel.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days.
And 40 nights.
And 40 nights.
He did neither eat bread.
He neither ate bread.
Nor drink water.
Nor drank water.
And he wrote upon the tables
and
the words.
And then Moses began to write upon the tables.
The words of the covenant.
The words of the covenant.
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. So one was for the ordinance and one was for the commandment. And God said, go and hew for yourselves two stones. And he does it. And then God comes and says, the first time I did the hewing of the stone for you, but this time go and do it yourself. He went and did it for himself. God said, the first time I wrote it for you, but this time around you are going to write it for yourself. Moses said, can I have a drink? God said, stop it. The only reason why you broke it was because your blood was not invested in this table. The reason why you easily broke it was because you did not invest sweat in this table, and that is why you easily broke it. But this time around, I want you to deposit your blood in it. I want you to deposit your sweat in it. God says, sit down. You are not going to eat. You are not going to drink for 40 days. And you can imagine when you are writing on a stone, you cannot write with a pen. You need a hammer. You need a nail. And you begin to inscript. He begins to inscript 40 days and 40 nights. He was inscripting it. Read it.
The Ten Commandments, 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand.
The first tablet was the tablet of the supernatural when God did it himself. And so he was able to break it into pieces. But the second tablet was the tablet that he healed the stone for himself, and he inscripted the handwriting himself. And so he comes with another tablet. But this time around, it is a tablet that he had made. What happens?
When he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him.
The original translation says that, and when Moses was coming down, the original Hebrew said that, and the tablet was in his bosom. You see, when he was coming at first, the Bible says that he was holding the tablet. And the moment they messed up, he said, I break the tablet. But the second time he was coming, he knows the children of Israel. He said, I can see that they can go after another
God another moment. But this time around, I want to safeguard this tablet because I don't want to be fasting for 80 days and for 90 days, for 100 days. I don't want to be inscripting it on the tablet. Once it is done, it has to be well protected. The reason why you didn't keep it well was because your sweat was not in it, because you didn't labor into it. But God, one of these days, will give you a revelation that I call the blood revelation, whereby you invest your blood, and by each reason of the fact that your blood is in it,
when you are coming, it is handled with care. Handle with care. The reason why you messed up the first relationship was because your deposits were not in it. But the day you missed it, your second revelation, which is your relationship, you handle with care. As God prepares you to give you what I call the blood revelation, may it add up to your life and not take away from your life. And whatever you easily broke, I pray that in the days and in the times to come, the business you broke, the relationships you broke, the strategic relationships you messed up, God is a God of a second chance. He's going to give you another chance. But when you are coming with it, carry it in your bosom. Protect it in your bosom. Why? It has to be protected because your blood has been deposited within it. The blood revelation. And that is why you should never underestimate your experiences. That is why you should never underestimate the things that God put you through. Some of you think that it was too hard a time. I know it was, but God wants to give you the revelation your teacher cannot give you. It is something you are the only person that understands. Nobody can understand that message. In fact, there are times and seasons when you go through issues of life. You don't even know how to start it and how to end it because you think that the person that sits before you might even think that you are insane. He might think that you are mad, but you are the only person that understands the experience that you had. I came to announce to you, don't just mess it up. Don't just deplete it. There is a virtue, and that is the virtue of a revelation. In that particular thing that you went through, I pray that that blood revelation will bring you up and not reduce you. It shall add up to you and not deplete you. I pray that whatever blood revelation you have, whatever friction you have had, whatever encounter you have had, whatever experiences you have had, I prophesy over your life that may it add up to you and not take away from you. Lift up your hands as you pray.
We know you've been blessed by today's word. Follow Prophet Victor Kusi Boateng on all social media platforms. Shalom.